Belshazzar's on the throne. But again, we find that God uses Daniel to speak out words of wisdom. We have a setting here. We have an interesting setting. It's a fascinating one. Daniel chapter 5, you'll see a party. It's a great party. Without reading the story, there were 1,000 lords that were gathered together. King Belshazzar gathered 1,000 of his lords together with their ladies. And he began to have a huge party. And at the height of the party, handwriting appears upon the wall. How many saw the handwriting? We don't know. We do know that the king saw it. It was just a hand, not the whole hand even, just the fingers. And at first, King Belshazzar must have thought that he'd been drinking too much. But the Bible says his knees smote together. His loins became loose. He became frightened. And he wanted to know what in the world the writing was that appeared upon the wall in the great banqueting house. And someone says, the Queen Mother, there's a man in your kingdom who hasn't been used in a long time, but he's got words of wisdom that come from the great God. You call him in and he'll tell you what the writing is. And Daniel's called in. And we read this in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Daniel was called in. That young man who had started years before to serve God now is called in before the mightiest God, for he was a god to his people, the mightiest ruler that day who was worshipped as a god. Daniel doesn't tremble before him. He doesn't fear him at all. He only fears God. Why? Because he's the Lord's. This mighty king doesn't make him fearful. When Daniel understands the writing, meeny, meeny, those famous words, tekel, upharsin, Persian words that appeared upon the wall, Daniel interprets them, and he has to tell Belshazzar, listen, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. Tonight you're going to lose your life. Your kingdom's going to be taken from you. When Daniel told this to King Belshazzar, I don't think he believed him. Perhaps you're sitting there today and you don't believe me. You say, well, so what? He said this morning I might lose my life this afternoon. So what? He doesn't know that. No, I don't. Daniel told Belshazzar, you're finished. Your kingdom has been weighed in the balances, it's found wanting. You're done. Belshazzar said, award him his award, make him third ruler. He was quite pleased with the interpretation. I don't think he believed him at all. Some of you have heard about Christ at this conference. You've heard that you need to be saved. You've heard that you need to be born again. You say, that's fine. That's nice. You put it off. Others of you who know Christ, live your life for yourself in the way you please. And you've forgotten that you're the Lord's and you're bought with a price. And you say, that's fine. Those are good words. But God has a way of judging. Belshazzar had had his chance. God had worked with his relative before him, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, we read according to the Bible, had been brought to the Lord. Daniel said, you're not without witness. You've had a tremendous witness, Belshazzar, and you've failed. And when Belshazzar that night decided at that great party to have that fling and bring in the temple vessels and desecrate the vessels from the temple in Jerusalem, God said, all right. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. You're finished, Belshazzar. And the handwriting appeared upon the wall, and Belshazzar was done. But he didn't really believe it. You see, you wouldn't have either. Belshazzar was the mightiest king of that day. It's true that the army of the Medes and the Persians were at the gates. But he lived in such a huge city in Babylon, one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. The walls were so thick, they were so high, his army was so great, that he found the whole thing that Daniel told him was just absolutely silly and ridiculous. And he didn't believe him for a minute. He thought it was nice nonsense. That's about all. But we read in the scripture, verse 30 of Daniel 5, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That night he was finished. That night the armies breached the wall. Historians tell us they got in a secret way through one of the river gates. They stormed the city. And the great city of Babylon, the seven wonders of the ancient world, toppled and fell before the Medes and the Persians. Daniel had warned him. Daniel had spoken to him. You know, he could have even turned his life over to the Lord after Daniel had told him. He had till the evening. But he felt very secure. You might feel very secure today. Saved or unsaved, young person light, older person too. You might say, well, I'm very secure. I don't know what the future holds. That's true, but I'm doing all right. You don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds. You could perish before 24 hours is up. It's a serious thought as we close the conference. I'd close it with a serious note. We are the Lord's. Those of us that know Christ is Savior, if we should die this moment, we'd go into the presence of the Lord. Do you have that assurance? Those of us that know Christ is Savior, and we haven't been living for the Lord. We spoke on this morning. If you went into the presence of the Lord this moment, what kind of record do you have for the judgment seat of the Christian, for the review that's going to come? Serious thoughts. Daniel purposed to serve the Lord from his youth upward. He gave his body, his soul, and his spirit to the Lord. He was the Lord's. He was tested. He was tested in his prayer life. He was tested in his political life. They tried to corrupt him, but he would not vary at all. You see, he began in his youth. And he established those Christian principles for living that he knew from God. And he refused to yield them, even in his old age. We're told that Daniel went on to live probably till he was 90-some. Occasionally I'll hear some young person say, when I get old, then I'm going to live for God. You will not live for God when you're old. When you see godly old men and women, they lived for God when they were young quite often. A godly life comes from a long life of carefully following the Lord. They were the Lord's. Now, it's true you can be saved in middle age and go on and live for the Lord. But if you're saved right now and you're young and you're not giving yourself to the Lord and all your temptations and all what you're like aren't subject to the Lord, you don't know what might happen to you. Some Christians end up in bitter circumstances in life, and they can't untie the damage that's done. Daniel purposed to serve the Lord, and he never varied from it. From the time of his youth, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we don't read about them anymore after Daniel 3, but we know this much. Cast into that fiery furnace over the fact they wouldn't bow to an idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had made. They did not burn either. And the king called them forth and was amazed at their survival. There's going to be lots of idols that'll come up in your Christian life from the time you're young to the time you're old. There'll be the idol of money. There'll be the idol of fame. There'll be the idol of position. There'll be the idol of you name it. There'll be all kinds of idols. You've got some of them right now in front of you. There are idols that you could think about. And you could say, that's a great idol. God does not want us to worship idols. We who are the Lord's, God wants us to worship the Lord. He wants us to follow Him closely. We're to be sold out completely to Him. How completely are you sold out today? What's your life like? Shall we pray? Our Father, we realize that there have been many reasons why different ones have gathered at this conference. We realize, our God, that some have come just for the friendship. Others have come because of the size of the crowd. Our God, we're first of all concerned with those that might go away today who know not Christ as Savior. We realize, our Father, how dangerous it is for them to go away this way. And our Father, they're not fearful. They don't know what it is to fall into the hands of a righteous and angry God. And so, our Father, we'd pray that they might have light and they might see themselves needing Christ as Savior, and thus they might trust the Lord Jesus. We'd ask also, our Father, for the young people who've committed their lives to Christ. We'd pray, our Father, that they might be kept safe. We'd think of the potential in their lives, how they can change the very circumstances and environment around them by standing up for thyself. We'd ask, our Father, that they might be granted courage. We realize, our Father, that it's hard to stand up, and most of them want to go along with the crowd. So, our Father, we'd ask that they might have courage, and they might be greatly encouraged as they accept that they are the Lord's, and we are the Lord's, if we know Christ as Savior. Our Father, encourage us, and might we faithfully study your word and put it to work in our own lives. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.